This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. I'm in today for Bill Radke. Last Saturday, in a Damascus, Syria suburb, residents were victims of a suspected chemical attack. In an interview for NPR's Morning Edition, Muad al-Din described what happened next.
I have been evacuated from Douma to northern area in Syria. It's a camp. There's a tent to contains the evacuated people. It's really devastating, the circumstances. It's 36 hours on the road, no break. Really, it's a hard thing to feel with you have a family and you have two kids with you. It's really hard.
Muad al-Din's story, I heard that this morning on Morning Edition, just stopped me in my car. He and his family have joined one of the largest waves of displaced people in history. Many of us have become almost numb to stories of the contemporary refugee crisis. Seattle artist Marianne Peters wants to make it impossible for us to look away. Marianne Peters, welcome to KUOW.
Thank you.
You have been working as an artist for decades, but your current artwork emerged not all that long ago, and I understand it came from a confluence, a story about a fisherman and an interchange with Doctors Without Borders. Can you tell us more?
Well, that's one of the stories that I bumped into. I should give you a little background. In 2010, I went to Lebanon and to Damascus with my family. My grandparents were from an area called Mount Lebanon and identified as Lebanese, although at that time it was just Syria. And I wanted to somehow understand the historical framework beyond my nostalgia about it. And so I started applying for grants and looking for opportunities to rethink what I think is a really full and complicated history that most people don't know about. And I started making the work because I felt somewhat of an obligation. And I think I had the empathy to do it and the chutzpah to do it at that time in my life. And so I started 3 years ago making this work. The piece you asked me about, that was based on being invited to do a talk at the Arab Festival in at the Seattle Center, actually. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I met a nurse who was working with Doctors Without Borders. I had started doing a series called Impossible Monuments, which in my mind refers to those events or incidents that are under the radar, but mm-hmm. that inform larger topics and deserve reverence and would never be elevated to the status of a monument. This nurse with Doctors Without Borders shared with me that he had been working in Yemen and that Yemeni fishermen were going out to do their work and were surprisingly coming across the remains and the belongings of people who did not survive those crossings. And they came to Doctors Without Borders and asked them for assistance in how to retrieve these people and their belongings, and also how to show respect for the traditions of burial with those people. And I was kind of completely struck by the fact that I didn't know Doctors Without Borders would go the extra mile to do that. And I also was struck by what the experience would be of being just an innocent fisherman on the Mediterranean and coming across what is now turned into somewhat of a cataclysmic occurrence. And I made this work called Impossible Monument Flotsam.
We are going to have some photos of Marianne's work, some of Marianne's work, at our website, kuow.org, later today. So you can, if you haven't seen it, you can click over and get a look at some of these images. You mentioned that your grandparents are of Lebanese origin.
Yes.
You went back. How do you think that ancestral vantage point influences the way that you interpret the stories?
Well, I think, in truth, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a historian. I basically am, I'd have to say, being an investigative, benevolent snoop around histories that are tied to my relatives. I felt that what I could do as a second-generation Arab American was use that perspective, which is unique unto itself, and record through artwork the what I will call the footprint, the cultural footprint of people being in a state of flux, which included my relatives at one time, and which is linked to current events. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been following migration patterns that happened at the turn of the 20th century with the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, and looking at those records that I can find and comparing it to today.
You said you're not a scholar, you're a snoop, but you're also an artist. And how is the perspective that an artist brings to these real life issues different from the way a journalist or a scholar would interpret them?
Well, I'm an interpreter of events. I rely on the scholarship and the expertise of journalists and historians to be the purveyors of, as best as possible, the accurate information. But I feel like I can bring a format and a form to topics that are based in reality, but that have a different kind of resonance by the way that I present them.
So these are not regular realistic photographs or
no.
or realistic paintings. Can you describe, this is radio, so people can't
yes.
see. Can you describe any of it for our listeners?
Yes. Well, I have made pieces that are loosely painted as if you were on the field, images that are tied to incidents that are contemporary. And I'm calling those storyboards, much like a theater person would put together a storyboard, and that narrative adds up to something. Sometimes I come across a piece of information that I feel is pertinent, but that would not have stuck in the mindset of most of the public. And in this case, I'll describe a piece that I did that was based on drought in the Middle East. There are some who are identifying the drought that is affecting current events in Syria, and the region is like hundreds of years old. And I read about how farmers had, tried to impress upon the government their demise, that their crops were failing and that it was going to affect not only the economics, but the livelihood of people specifically of the country, and that there wasn't the response that they wanted to have. And it made for this influx of millions of people to urban settings that are not prepared for them. And so I thought, how can I get people to understand drought? So I started thinking about what's grown, and in this case, wheat, and how bread is so integral to the cuisine. And I made a carpet with the help of another artist, Mackenzie Port. My concept was to take a ubiquitous Middle Eastern image, the carpet, flying carpet, and I made it out of baking flour, only out of baking flour. So if you touched it, it disseminated. And it was called Impossible Monument on My Eyes and My Head. That expression, on my eyes and my head, in Arabic, it translates to how we would use in English to say, I would do anything for you. And I also bronzed a set of pita breads.
That was also an impossible monument.
That was the original impossible monument.
Did you ever have any hesitation to pursue this line of work?
Always. yes, because it's not the first time I had made installations or pieces that were tied to my Arab heritage. But it took the collapse of the Arab Spring and the kind of humanitarian crisis that has become this migration moment to kind of get me to say, also to acknowledge that people of Arab descent are being maligned on a regular basis in this country, and that if I could bring some sort of different mental picture to the topics that are surrounding such a diverse and huge topic, then I would try to do it. And I happen to have a very generous and empathetic art dealer, James Harris, who when I came to him and said, I really want to try to do this, they're not going to be synchronized. The title is going to be the cohesion for what people see. And I'm going in. And so between him and my family and my friends, and I just decided I had nothing to lose.
It's a moment in time when you're working, when many artists feel called to address various contemporary social issues, political issues, identity politics.
Yes.
What can an artist, not just you, but artists in general, bring to bear that other kinds of storytellers and interpreters can't?
Well, we have there's no rules. So, of course, if you can realize an idea in a resonant way, that it's endless, the possibilities of that. I will interject that there is an ethical premise that you have to grapple with. So if I'm talking about drowned people in the Mediterranean, I have to really think about what that means to those families and those cultures that are in these forced circumstances. And if whatever I do has to have some element of respect to the experience. And so I think about that a lot before I make something. But artists, I think, have the latitude of that there, as I said, there's no rules. And so if they can find circumstances that will accommodate their ideas, they can actually contribute.
This journey, this body of work that you're engaged with right now started with some recognition or acknowledgement of your own heritage. How has it changed how you think about who you are and who your ancestors were?
Well, it sure has made family stories different.
Really?
You know, of course. I mean, because as any family will do that has an attachment. I mean, America is a giant narrative of stories, right? Of people coming from other places, unless you're of Native descent. And it's made me look at those stories and look at those images with a different kind of filter. I think there are aspects of my family's stories that have been romanticized, of course. There are aspects that have been embellished hugely. But it all comes down to some sort of need to have an association that is culturally strong. And rather than minimize that, I think, you know, I mean, Lebanese heritage, I would tell everybody, go to Lebanon. It's, you know, go to Lebanon. Do it. But and every time I've sort of headed in that direction, I've been cautioned not to go, you know, because we have such an imagined landscape about what that means to go to a place like that. But it's just a fiction. And so it's made me really look at what are the realities and what are the fictions. And it's made me also look at the overlap of histories. I mean, Lebanon's a really good place to look because it's so diverse in that way. And people don't realize that, you know.
Makes me want to go to Lebanon. But also think about your work. Artist Marianne Peters, a painter and installation artist who's based in Seattle. Her current body of work inspired by the humanitarian crisis driven by migration out of the Middle East and Africa and also by her own identity search. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Marcy.
And a reminder that you'll be able to see some of Marianne's work at our website, kuow.org. It's The Record.